the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio show. 844-326-3663 is the number. You can call that number and get on the air. You can also text that number, as it is the number, to the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. If you text that number, 844-326-3663, we will read your text on the air. You guys, surprisingly quiet on the text line this morning. I would love for that to change. The show is better when your voices are on it. I believe that. So, 844-326-3663. Call that number. Get on the air. Text that number. We will read your text messages on the air as well. If you'd like to come at us in that direction, you are welcome to do so. We have got the audio blitz here at the 8 o'clock segment, as we do every day. I'm not gonna lie. I got some interesting ones, some weird ones, some fun ones that I want to get to. You know what? Let's go with this one first. Mainly because I love a good accent. I love a good accent. I don't know why. It is just something. I love a good accent.
Do you love your accent?
See, here's the weird thing. I do not think that I have one. I think that there are some words that for whatever reason I pronounce exactly. Alarm. I think there are some words that I pronounce distinctly, some on purpose, some not so much. But I don't think I have an accent. We actually had, funny enough, I'll tell this story because I think it's okay. We had a potential endorsement client come through a couple of weeks ago. And they sent out, and this is pretty standard in the radio world, they sent out a feeler asking for samples, like in real life samples, show samples from some of the talent here on the show. And when we sent them, or when the sales staff sent them clips from those of us here on the Fan Upstate, though it did not come through, I was told that if they were to advertise on this station, they would prefer I do the endorsement out of the two that were the finalists, which were me and Cole Bryson. And I think it's okay because I've talked to Cole about this and we had a good laugh about it. They said the reason why was because they wanted this endorsement that they were going to record, not just to run here on the show, but they wanted to utilize it to run nationally. And they wanted somebody who had less of an accent, and Cole Bryson just sounded way too Southern. They're like, we can't run his, what were their words, dramatically Southern accent if we play these messages in California or in Ohio or in New York.
That's funny because he has a slight Southern accent compared to other people. So,
oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's, you know.
I thought it was hilarious. Now, I love a good accent. And if there is one accent that I regularly imitate, it's the folks from up at Fenway Pack, up in Baston, which is why I lost my mind when I came across this clip from the two most Baston guys I've ever heard have a conversation. Whatever. I'll pay $40 for a beer, whatever.
Sure, that wasn't a Saturday Night Light.
I was
waiting to hear Rachel Dratch in there somewhere.
I'm not entirely sure. That wasn't real life Peter Griffin. Like, that was real life Peter Griffin or whatever. I'll pay $40 a beer at Fenway Pack if this team wins the World Series, eh? I don't know why. I listened to that. I loved it a lot. Hey, here's another guy that I love. I've had the pleasure of playing in a pro-am golf tournament with this guy. And I'm upset that I had not heard this story from former PGA Tour golfer Boo Weekly. Now, Boo's not your standard golfer. He's a good old boy, which explains why he was on the Dale Earnhardt Jr. podcast. And I need you to lock in for this story, Lonzo, because I got to tell you, having played golf and spent a day with Boo Weekly, I absolutely believe this story. But also, I don't believe this story.
All right, so before you were born, I'm thinking, there was a Clint Eastwood movie called Any Which Way But Loose. And he had an orangutan with him. That was his buddy. And he would say, right turn, Clyde, and Clyde would knock people out. So seeing that sort of thing, why would you want to fight an orangutan? That's just crazy. I believe it. A former news guy, I don't know if you were around when Ed Jensen was here.
No.
For WORD. He's no longer with us. Told me stories all the time about how he fought a bear at a fair. And I believed it. I believed it. Because you've seen video of people fighting bears. So I don't have a problem believing that he fought an orangutan.
I have heard stories in years gone by that back in the day, county and community fairs were a little weirder than they are now. Not that they're not weird now. And I say this with all the love in the world. I love a county fair because the people watching is just A-plus primo.
You've been offending a lot of people in this entire segment, so now you're going after carnies too.
No. I love county fairs. I love county fair food. I love county fair festivities. To this day, there are very few things in my life that I feel as proud about as when I win what I know for a fact is a rigged carnival game at a county fair. Like, you pop one of those underinflated balloons with a dart, or you get one of those ping pong balls to land in the goldfish aquarium, or you're able to get a ring around a bottleneck that it's slightly better than or bigger than or whatever. Like, it's a sense of pride as a dude. I love county fairs. At the same time, the people watching is immaculate. It's just, it's top tier. It's better than professional wrestling shows, and professional wrestling shows are A-plus people watching. I know that they used to be even weirder. The concept of a guy who travels the country with an orangutan, and the whole thing is you pay the guy $5, you put on boxing gloves, you climb into a ring cage, circle drawn in the ground in the dirt, I don't know, and go fisticuffs with one of our primate cousins. It's just the wildest damn thing I've ever heard. And there are like 99% of guys would tell this story. And I'd go, you're just making up a silly story for the pod. But when Boo Weekly tells it, and he says the way we determine who's going to get in there and slug it out with this orangutan is a slowest shotgunning of a beer. And I woke up in the bed of my truck. After having spent the day playing golf with Boo Weekly, I completely and entirely believe that. Like, I believe this is true. Before the Indy Corn 350 on the NASCAR circuit this weekend, they were doing their pre-race show, which is pretty huge. And one of the interesting things that got captured was inside of the RFK Racing Team trailer where Ryan Preece races. The TV dudes thought that they saw a slushy machine just set up on the sideline. I have to tell you, we've done, I think, a pretty good job outfitting the studio, giving us a little backdrop. If you're not watching the live stream, now's a good chance to join. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on Twitter or YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. I think we've done a pretty good job setting up the background. We've collected mementos. We got some bobbleheads. I brought in one of my customized jerseys. We've got the flag. We got the Charlotte FC gear, the Carolina Panther gear, the Greenville Liberty gear, the Gamecock gear, the Clemson gear. We've done a good job setting up the studio with merch. And now, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know which boss that I have to kiss enough booty to make it happen. I want a slushy machine on the windowsill right there. I want a slushy machine that we can come in here, crank that bad boy on, dump a gallon of Country Time lemonade in, and wrap every show with a lemonade slushy. I'm not against other flavors. Big cherry guy.
Yeah, let's go cherry. I don't know about lemonade. Lemonade doesn't work well when you're on the air. I know you're saying afterwards, but lemonade kind of affects how you speak, and I don't know if you want to go with that, but cherry.
Lemonade's also more a hot weather slushy. You know, I can justify even though it's cold.
I don't think I've ever had a lemonade slushy.
Oh, I have a big fan.
Maybe I have, but
big fan.
It doesn't sound that appealing. Cherry, then, on the other hand.
And then on the weekends, I can unplug it, take it to the crib.
Oh, no.
Dump some margarita mix and tequila in there and have us a college football Saturday.
If you, thank you. Chris Miller agrees with me that cherry's the way to go. Listen, if you get one for the studio, you can't take that. It's got to stay here.
Oh, if I get one for the studio, I absolutely can. That might be the play. It may not be go to the boss and get the boss to like fund us.
Let's face it.
A station
slushy. Just get one and bring it in here. I mean, we'll see what they say afterwards.
I mean,
they
might
might be in here grabbing him one. You don't know.
I may have.
I also want a foosball table. We get it a fit right over there.
I respect the hell out of a NASCAR team. And if you watch the video of that, it's very funny because the boys turn into the boys when they got a slushy machine in front of them, and I respect the crap out of it.
See, that it would be a problem for us, though. I mean, because you can't wait till the end of the show. I mean, if it's over there,
we'd be slushing all the time.
For sure.
Especially those 2-3 months in the middle of summer, which should be now, but we got the weather rolling through. But like now where even when we walk outside at 4 in the morning, it's 82 degrees in humidity.
It's more like when we come in here in the morning and Cole and Diesel have the door open and the air turned up or down, whichever thing that makes it warmer in here, having one to cool off as we wait for the air to kick back in.
Yeah, I got
to
tell you, I have said for many, many years, if you are looking at a job and if you are in the office applying, going through interviews, whatever. Before you accept any offer, get up, go to the restroom, excuse yourself, go to the restroom, and check the TP in the bathroom. And if it's anything less than genuine double ply, that means that they don't care about their employees. If it's single ply, that kind that you can see your hand through it when it's one layer, they don't care about you. Don't work there. Double ply or do not work there. Now I'm at the point where I go the opposite end. How do I know that a place genuinely cares about me? Slushy machine. That's the answer. Rashid Phillips is a gentleman who hosts a This Week in Barbecue podcast. There's a podcast for anything and everything out there, people. He hosts a pod, Rashid does, called This Week in Barbecue. And he made a point on the This Week in Barbecue pod that not only have I never considered, but when I heard this take, I got just rage fueled for a minute because I realized, pointed out by Rashid Phillips on the This Week in Barbecue pod, we have all been getting taken advantage of for years. When I heard that, when that came across my life yesterday, the first time I listened to it, I was like, nah, okay, whatever. And then I put it aside. You know, I put it in the show prep folder. I'm like, hey, maybe this thing's... And the more I thought about it throughout the course of the day, the more that I genuinely, progressively, got more and more upset by it because he is absolutely right. And I know that because not but 2 days ago, I went to the Costco. Big Costco bro over here. And I don't know why it's become one of my favorite things, but one of my favorite things is you can go to Costco and get a whole rotisserie chicken for like $5. And they're good. So I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I paid $5 for a whole chicken. I brought it home. And when I carved that chicken, because the wife and I like to like peel it off, shred the meat up, use it in chicken salad, or use it as a protein on a salad, or make barbecue chicken sandwiches with it, or whatever. When I carved that chicken up, it's got two wings. And that wing is a flat and a drum. And yet we have allowed for decades now, we have allowed wing joints to convince us that flats and drums, both part of a literal chicken wing, are both individual wings. They're not.
I feel really dumb right now because I have never thought about this till now. I legitimately Same. Never thought about this. While he's talking, I'm like, oh, no.
Same.
Seriously, this is, wow.
You know, I've made the point.
And I've been duped longer than you because I'm older than you.
I've made it in a point in my life when people have and I'm not talking about incorrect, like subjectively, objectively incorrect opinions. Not opinions, beliefs. When people have objectively incorrect beliefs, empirically provable, you are wrong. To demonstrate grace and patience to the best of my ability. Because when someone has an incorrect belief, calling them an idiot and saying, no, you're a dummy, this is calling someone an idiot is only going to solidify them in that belief. They are just, oh, they're only calling me an idiot because I'm right and they're wrong and they know it. But
welcome to the Flat Earth Society.
Honestly. Now, that's a different story because, like, your dumb belief is just so egregiously out of left field. But, like, if somebody has a, well, this company does this thing. And I'm like, yeah, they really don't. And I can prove they don't. Grace and patience to get them out. To break somebody out of a bubble of a bad belief, you have to show grace and patience. I had to show grace and patience to myself yesterday because I made the realization that for 35 years of my 40-year life, because I very much remember back in the day, the old man used to take me to Hooters as a kid because Hooters used to have the best wings. Straight up, absolutely did. I've been eating wings for 35 years of my life. And for 35 years, I have allowed restaurants primarily to convince me that drums and flats are two wings. They're not. Do not put chicken wings on the menu because you're not serving me the wing. You're serving me the drum and you're serving me the flat. If you're going to put wings on the menu, you better show me the whole damn wing. And for 35 years of my life, I have had the belief that that's two wings. It's not. It's one wing. Rashid Phillips on the This Week in Barbecue Pod is a legit genius, and I appreciate him for opening my eyes to the fact that I have been getting taken advantage of for literally decades at this point. Thank you, Rashid. Y'all, we need to open the eyes of America with that take because it's a good one. More talk about football and not wings, but maybe wings. When we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Alonzo, and you, 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio broadcast. You know how people, this is kind of, we're going to come back to football, but we got a short segment here. You know how people see the game differently? This is one of the reasons that I've said that to me, having a coach who is open to, willing to listen to other people and value their input instead of run it like a dictator, like Saban did, but Saban's approach to football and life was just so much different than everybody else's that it worked. Most coaches don't have that. When coaches see the game differently and get input from other people, it's massively important. I'm going to go super old man with you. You know what George Washington's strength was as a general during the Revolutionary War? It was not being a great battlefield commander. In fact, quite the opposite. He was kind of a very mediocre battlefield commander. The reason that George Washington was successful as a commander of the Continental Army during the American Revolution was not because he was a great battlefield commander. He was successful because he assembled a fantastic war cabinet and junior staff around him. And when they would hold their war councils, George Washington would get the input the advice from everyone in the room, junior officers, experienced staff alike. And then he would take all of their opinions, all of their thoughts, all of their beliefs, he would put them all together and then come up with a plan of action. And very frequently, that plan of action was, we cannot win this battle, but what we can do is fight it, engage, slow them down, run away, and fight another day. And that's what we did. It was outlast the British. It wasn't beat the British. It was outlast them. Wait until support in London went away for this war, and they left us the hell alone. And that's effectively what happened. Some people see the game differently. Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, is one of those people. Now, I'm going to play this clip. There's no take other than I loved hearing it. Mazzulla was talking to Edelman on his podcast the other day. And they started talking about some of the best players in the NBA, predominantly Nikola Jokic. I'm going to play this clip for you. We're backing this up to the wing thing because we played that clip about the wings earlier, that a drum and a wing is one wing. Why are we selling it as two? And Lonzo and I both had this moment of like, how have I never reached that conclusion before? How have I never gotten there? Joe Mazzulla said something about Nikola Jokic that I heard it and I went, oh, damn, and had the exact same reaction. Jokic plays basketball like it's water polo. I have never had that thought. And as soon as Mazzulla said it, I'm like, damn, he's right. He's right. Why do you think that Nikola Jokic is a walking triple-double? Why do you think that as a big man, a dominant power big man on the inside, Nikola Jokic is able to rack up triple-doubles like whoa? Because that's how he sees passing the football. Or excuse me, the basketball. Because that's how he sees passing the basketball. It is get it in the hand, get it out of the hand of the open guy. Because if I don't, much like in water polo, the longer I hang on to the ball, the more likely it is that some dude is going to swim up, wrap his leg around me, and try to kill me. I'm terrified of water polo. It is the only Olympic sport that I would say no to trying. I will try any other Olympic sport. I would honestly rather try that weird long-distance ski jump thing where you soar through the air for 900 yards. I think I would rather try that than water polo.
I just think you don't like the stupid hats in water polo.
No, it's not even the stupid hats. I've worn stupid hats my whole life. I don't care about the stupid hats. What I care about is a bunch of dudes on the other side of that pool who are willing to drown me.
Not to mention what they're doing with their like you said, their legs and stuff under the water.
Oh, they kick, they scratch. And if you ever like listen to interviews from these dudes, they'll point out that like water polo players grow their toenails out long, so they scratch you up in the water and stuff like that. It is the only sport that it doesn't incite violence. It doesn't encourage violence. The sport is violence. That's it. It's water, it's aquatic violence. I'm terrified of it, but I also get it. I understand it. And to hear Mazzulla point out, Jokic plays basketball like it's water polo. Catch the ball with one hand, get it out to the next dude. Because if I don't, I'm going to get draped. And more importantly, if the ball's on its way to me and I know it, the defense knows it, they're collapsing already, some lane is going to be open. That is such a brilliant way to view his game. And I've never once thought about that. There's no hot take to this. That is just, I thought, an incredibly unique observation from one of the weirdest dudes in sports, Joe Mazzulla, who I absolutely love. All right, let's talk some more college football when we come back. The 2025 preseason coaches poll has dropped. Who's on it where? What's our reaction? Let's pick this thing apart to the bone when we come back. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
buddy. The Rob Brown Show back on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate. We have been looking at this beautiful upstate South Carolina morning. We have been looking at the college football preseason coaches top 25. Now, as we acknowledged earlier in the show, we do not know how seriously the coaches that are asked to participate in this poll take it. We do not know how many of them fill out a ballot themselves. We do not know how many of them have a nerd stat boy on staff and they go, yo, fill this thing out for me, bring it back, I'll sign it, we'll send it in. Oh, goodness.
Okay, we have some breaking news in the NFL world. According to Adam Schefter, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is visiting Tampa Bay today and is expected to sign with the Buccaneers.
Really? Okay.
I mean, recently Teddy's been in trouble because he was a high school football coach and he spent a lot of money and
yeah, that's was the not dumbest thing to, ever, by the way.
Yeah, well, anyway. So that's not, so I know he wasn't in the NFL. Yeah. So
no, he was not. He's been coaching
a high school team and I forget where, but yeah.
So long story short, if you haven't heard that story, and I don't think we brought it up on the show. But effectively, Teddy Bridgewater, while coaching this team, was, according to his side of the story, was providing players with hot meals, food, equipment, like stuff they just did not have or have access to. And those things, under whatever code or law he was coaching under, were impermissible benefits. Teddy got sanctioned for it. Been a lot of pushback from people going, wait a minute. Here's this dude who is out there trying to provide an opportunity for kids from underprivileged areas, neighborhoods, whatever, access to play a sport to keep themselves out of trouble, to keep them working on something, doing something. And these kids maybe don't have everything that they need in order to be successful both at football and at life. Teddy's impermissible benefits were giving kids who maybe didn't have lunch, and we're gonna beat them up for that. This isn't D1 Power 4 level college football. This isn't, you know, kids that are also getting all this from the school and then getting money on the side. Like, these are high school kids who come from a not so great neighborhood. So that's been interesting. I wonder if this means that, because I don't remember if he got fired or like suspended. I don't remember what the outcome of that story was.
I think it was suspension. I'll look into it.
I wonder if this is a step away or just like, yo, I'm going to take a break. Here's what I do know. Baker Mayfield's a starter. And then after that, Kyle Trask, Michael Pratt are the next two guys. So this checks out. I mean, look, I think Tampa's kind of in that boat with, I'd say, most other NFL teams, that if QB1 goes down, nothing else matters anyway. So, like, get the best QB2 you can have. Give yourself a chance to stay in the hunt until QB1 comes back.
He was suspended, by the way.
Okay.
From the FHSAA, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
The Florida High School Athletics Association. Very aware with it. Very aware of it. Told you.
The other thing is, why all of a sudden, and why did Tampa Bay, I know you just pointed out who their backups were, but that's kind of, what's the last team Teddy played for?
Oh, God, I don't even remember. I mean, it's not been terribly long, I don't think. That being said, I do know that Baker Mayfield was dealing with a minor injury. He missed a couple of practices.
Worse than what we thought?
No, I had a bruised hand. Okay. Yeah, he returned to practice. I don't know if he returned to practice yesterday, or I haven't gotten a chance to watch to catch up with practice reports from yesterday. I'll do that after the show. I don't know if he returned yesterday or he was expected to return yesterday and will return today, but he had a bruised hand, which is not super uncommon for quarterbacks, especially in when you're throwing 100 balls in camp and you got guys, you hit the hand on the helmet, it happens. But according to Buck's report, he hit his hand on a shoulder pad. Finished the practice, but was held out predominantly for precautionary reasons. Had an MRI, came back negative. But I think that was probably just a matter of they recognize that if Bate goes down, Kyle Trask, who just never really has been that guy at Florida or in the NFL, is up next. So that makes sense. We'll see. For the record, Love Teddy Bridgewater. He was in New Orleans for a couple of years. Loved him in New Orleans. I thought he was what? He was with Minnesota.
I think he is. He's definitely a good backup for Baker.
Oh, for sure.
I think their styles definitely mesh.
I think so too. But he's the type of dude that you can. He was with Carolina. Actually, that's right. He left New Orleans, went to Carolina. Was with Denver a season, then Miami a season, then he was with Detroit for two seasons. He was the backup through that run, and then he just signed to Tampa Bay today. So that's Teddy Bridgewater is one of those guys that find whatever is an NFL quarterback. I just root for him because he's a dude. Like, he's just a good dude, and we need more good dudes in sports. All right, we'll see how that plays out. And what happens with Bake moving forward. Let's get back to this.
Wait, what is breaking news brought to us by?
Oh, that's right. Breaking news brought to our by our friends at the BetMGM Network and BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. BetMGM Network, of course, host of phenomenal shows like BetMGM Tonight, every weekday from 7 to 11. The Daily Tip, every morning from 6 till 9 a.m. And, of course, on Saturdays from noon to 4, Bet for the Cycle with myself and Cody Decker. This week, it will be myself and the Persian Love Machine, Jay Kasson. Then next week, it'll be Cody Decker and Jay Kasson, as I will be out on that Saturday.
Did Jay Kasson give himself that nickname?
No, I gave him that nickname.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Was he okay with it?
He called himself the Persian Kevin Love because he looks like Persian Kevin Love, and it's incredible. And then he told on the show a very funny post-wedding reception season that or a story that involved a little little post-open bar wedding reception shenanigans, and I knighted him with the name the Persian Love Machine.
Okay,
and it has stuck across the rest of the network because of course it did. Jay Kasson and I this Saturday from noon to four. Cody Decker and Jay Kasson next Saturday, and then Cody Decker and I will make our 1-2 punch return. In the final week of August before we head into
the college football season.
That's exactly right. May or may not be a massive coincidence. We'll see. All right. Real quick to wrap up this segment. Here is your top 25. Top of the head, gut reaction, who's too high, who's low. Boise State checks in at 25. They are the, I don't want to say consensus, but overwhelming media selection to repeat as the group of five AQ spot. Texas Tech at 24, BYU at 23. I think BYU might be a little low. I think BYU is going to be a better football team. Change at the quarterback spot this year, but they got a lot of talent coming back. Iowa State 22, Texas A&M number 21. Now, I know that I make fun of the Colt all the time, and for the sake of fairness, I only make fun of Texas A&M all the time because they totally deserve it. That's the only reason why. I am going to say this. I like Mike Elko a lot. I like the talent they put together. And by the way, the reports are that Texas A&M's NIL total this year may be north of $51 million. They may actually be up there with Texas and Ohio State as the highest NIL valuation. I think Texas A&M may very well finish inside the top five in the SEC this year. I think they might be a little low there. I think that South Carolina-Texas A&M game out at the Colt compound, Kyle Field, College Station, Texas, that might be to determine the last team into the college football playoff. I think there is a better than good chance that the winner of that game goes in and the loser of that game's out. Kansas State at number 20. I think that team's honestly a little bit low. And much like Lenora Sellers at South Carolina, I think it might be low predominantly because of their quarterback. Avery Johnson is a dude. Dude is quick. He can throw. He's got every tool in the tool set to be a Heisman Trophy finalist this year for the Kansas State Wildcats. I think that team might be in the mix too. They're just behind Indiana. I like Indiana. I just don't know if they got the dogs they got last year. And while the run through the regular season was a blast, they didn't really have that that signature win that you can go, oh, there's that dog. There's that guy. Like, there's that team. I don't think they're there yet. I think they might be a little bit high. We'll find out. Tennessee, number 18. I'm fine with that. Florida, number 17. I think 17 is a fair place to start for the Florida Gators. I also think Florida might be the most dangerous team in the Southeastern Conference. Not necessarily most talented. Not necessarily best. I think they might be the most dangerous team because, much like Lenora Sellers, I bought into the hype around DJ Lagway. The question is, Can he stay healthy? If he stays healthy and he improves week to week, I think by the end of the year, and it may be too late, they may have a couple of early L's on the docket that prevent them from getting in. I think Florida's dangerous. I'd have them a little higher than 17. Honestly, probably closer to like 13, 14. SMU at number 16, fine with that. You replace the entire running back field. You got some dogs, but Kevin Jennings is also a dog, and I love Rhett Lashley. Michigan at number 14. Might be a little high for the Wolverines. Might be a little high for Michigan. A lot of rebuild, and Sherrod Moore is going to be missing some time. So I think that might be high for Michigan to start.
I can't say anything.
We know.
Yeah.
South Carolina, number 13. I got to tell you, I'd probably have them at 11. I'd put South Carolina ahead of Illinois. I'd put South Carolina, I think, ahead of Arizona State.
13 is not a bad place to be.
It's not.
Because you can work your way into the top 10 in no time with a few wins. So, I mean, you know, that's not bad.
Look, a win out of the gate over Virginia Tech, because you know, look, Clemson plays LSU. Somebody's got to lose in that game. Texas plays Ohio State. Somebody's got to lose in that game. Now, I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, they're not going to drop that far.
Right. The only team that might drop behind South Carolina would be LSU with a road loss to Clemson, because they are starting at number 9. So, like, maybe they go back to 14, 15. But honestly, because of the challenge playing a road game at number 6 in week 1, I doubt they're dropping that far. The point is, there are going to be at least a couple of teams inside that top 12 ahead of you that are going to take an L in week 1. And that just sets you up for, don't take an L, and you will eventually catch them. I'm fine with 13. I'd have probably put them ahead at 11. Illinois 12, Arizona State 11. Really no issue there. I would have put them both behind South Carolina, but hey, whatever. Top 10. Number 10, Miami, fine. Don't trust Mario Cristobal. Team's good on paper. Number 9, LSU. Might be Brian Kelly's best roster so far, and the pressure's on to perform, fine. Alabama, number 8. Cool. Ty Simpson's a big question mark at quarterback. I think Alabama's going to be in the mix for a natty at the end of the year, but I also understand unproven from last year. Cool. Number 7, Oregon. Dante Moore, Heisman Trophy finalist, potentially. Dan Lanning is maybe the best coach in college football that doesn't have a ring yet. Fine. Clemson, number 6, with 2 first place votes. Good with that. I would have Clemson ahead of Notre Dame, mainly because the proven commodity at quarterback that Notre Dame doesn't have with CJ Carr. I'd have Clemson at number 5 ahead of Notre Dame, but cool with 6. Notre Dame, 5, fine. Jeremiah Love is maybe the non-quarterback with the best chance of making it to New York City. Number 4, Georgia. 3, Penn State. 2, Ohio State, Texas. I have no issue with the top 4 at all. Who do you have an issue with? Who's too high? Who's too low? We'll take your thoughts when we start off the next hour, the final hour of the Rob Brown Show. Now, sit back, relax, enjoy. It's your final sports flash of the day. You better take advantage of it.
Yeah, if you don't, it's your own fault. So there. The Atlanta Braves dropped a 3-1 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers last night. Eric Fedde took his 12th loss of the year, going 5.1 innings and surrendering 3 hits and 3 runs without recording a strikeout. The Braves went 3-for-30 from the plate and had only 3 at-bats with runners in scoring position. Atlanta is now a full 20 games below 500. Rob wants you to know that. The Cleveland Browns are adding a 5th quarterback to the roster, signing Tyler Huntley. The quarterback spot is expected to be won by Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, or Shedeur Sanders, but all except Flacco have recently been sidelined due to injuries. Huntley was with the Browns last offseason before being cut. Speaking of quarterbacks, Vikings second-year quarterback J.J. McCarthy will get the start against the Texans in Saturday's preseason game. McCarthy missed last year with a right knee injury, becoming the first quarterback selected in the first round to miss an entire rookie season.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The 3 conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.